I'm Paul Wegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is the producing artistic director of Delaware Shakespeare, David Stradley. Welcome, David.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You're no stranger to the studio here, but I'm glad to have you back. Coming up on a new summer festival and a new community tour starting in the fall. But for our listeners, I mean, Delaware Shakespeare has just an incredible history and recently some tremendous recognition at the national level. But let's go back to the beginnings. How did Delaware Shakespeare begin?
It began when a bunch of Wilmington friends got together and said, hey, Delaware is one of the only states in the union that doesn't have a professional Shakespeare company. So they said, it was the good old model of let's get together and put on a show. And so back in 2003, they launched the company with a production of Midsummer Night's Dream on the grounds of Archmere Academy. That first year it only ran for one weekend, maybe two.
Okay.
But they were obviously onto something. And there's just been a wonderful, continual, steady growth. The first 3 years, Delaware Shakespeare Festival was on the grounds of Archmere, but they grew audience sizes every year. I started acting with the company in the second year. By the time they got to their fourth year, they had outgrown Archmere, and Newcastle County warmly welcomed the company to Rockwood Park. And when they moved out to Rockwood Park, again, audience numbers just kept going and going and going. I can remember playing Richard III for the company, and the final night we had like 500 people out on the grounds of Rockwood.
Wow.
And just really, really wonderful. And then I took over the company when the founding artistic director, Molly Cahill-Govern, stepped down after the 2011 season. And we've engaged in a branching out period of growth since then. We started just doing some kind of off-season reading events connected to Halloween and St. Valentine's, and those were popular. But then the real thing that kind of launched us, what I call the kind of not necessarily the modern era, but the biggest growth step the company was back in 2016 when we launched our community tour program, where every fall we take a Shakespeare play on the road throughout the whole state of Delaware, trying to reach the full spectrum of humanity in our state. So we go to places like homeless shelters and community centers and prisons and mental health facilities. And we do that every fall in September and October. Delaware Shakespeare Festival, which was the name, and then we dropped the festival 3 years ago when we stopped being just a summer company.
Right.
Really has gone from literally one weekend in the summer to now we have activities stretching February through November of every year.
Which I think is really fascinating, that growth of the organization, as you say, from putting on a show in the summer to year-round community outreach. You have education activities. I know you go into the schools. So it really is a greatly expanded a service that you provide to the community.
But it's always stayed very true to its roots of how do we get the broadest mix of the community together to experience these plays? I mean, that's how they were written in Shakespeare's day for people of every walk of life to get together and experience them. And from the very beginning, the company has tried to get that same kind of audience. And that's really been at the root of kind of all the growth that's happened over the 17 years of the company.
And that's a really interesting point because, Shakespeare's performances in his day were not just for the social elites of London.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. Normally you hear Shakespeare, people go, oh, Shakespeare, that's just for the refined, the high and mighty. But that couldn't have been further from the truth. I mean, Shakespeare's plays in his day were, you know, I say the movies of his day, but maybe now I should say the Netflix show of his day, because that's what seems to be where we are now. But they were the thing that everybody wanted to talk about, everybody wanted to see. You could pay a penny and stand up close and throw stuff at the actors, or you could pay a little bit more money and have a seat. You could pay even more money and have a seat next to the queen. So it really was people from every aspect of society. And we've really lost that as a theater culture as a whole. You know, so much of theater now seems to be like, oh, if you can afford that $60 ticket on Broadway, or that's a cheap ticket on Broadway. But when you get everybody in your community together to experience these plays, it's just such a rich experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to expanding your audiences and outreach and the types of audiences that you're reaching, you've also expanded tremendously the inclusion of actors, not only geographically, but professionally, as well as programs for college students, high school age students.
Yeah, so the company started, I mean, it was always professional. Everyone always got paid a little bit. Mm-hmm. But over the years, we've increased our professionalism, so we're able to get a higher quality of actor. Back in 2015 was the first year we used a member of Actors Equity Association. And we've used a member of Actors Equity in our summer show ever since. This year, we're up to two. Our community tour has 8 actors. 4 of those actors are always members of Actors Equity. Because again, we want to bring the best we can to mm-hmm. our wonderful state of Delaware. Mm-hmm. But then along with that, again, with this same vision of trying to make sure, you know, the broadest possible mix of the community is involved, you know, with our summer festival, we have college apprentice company members who appear in the show, but then we also have high school interns who are around the process and learning from it. So we try to surround our processes with people at kind of every stage of their career, so that the creative impulse behind the shows matches that same goal of, can anybody come and experience mm-hmm. this and mm-hmm. appreciate it?
Now, looking at your performances or your productions, I should say, from 2003, you've done not all of the Shakespeare plays, but you've done a full range from tragedy to comedy. Can you speak to that and how that selection has occurred over time, and has that evolved, or is it cyclical?
The company, you know, as a summer company in its origins, we started with the comedies, you know, Midsummer Night's mm-hmm. Dream, As You Like It, because you know, when you go see a show in the summer, you want to sit back and relax and enjoy. But they did, you know, very early on. I think it was the first 4 shows were comedy, but then, you know, their fifth show was Richard III, you know, not mm-hmm. not a comedy, a pretty intense historical drama. And ever since then, with our summer show, there's kind of been a 3-year cycle of well-known comedy, maybe not as well-known comedy, and then something else, whether that's a history play or a tragedy or, you know, a romance like The mm-hmm. Winter's Tale. And then the really great thing about launching the community tour is that it's kind of opened up the canon for us. I mean, in the 3 years of the community tour, we started with Pericles, Prince of Tyre, which I bet many of your listeners don't even know the play Shakespeare wrote, but a really wonderful play about life's journey, and that really matched up with the places we were taking the performance. And then, you know, we did a comedy, As You Like It, which was our second show we had done outdoors, but a totally different play when you do it in a prison mm-hmm. and in a homeless
right,
shelter.
Right.
And then last year, you know, we did The Merchant of Venice for the community tour. Not a play we'd ever do in the summer festival, which is about kind of relaxing and inclusion and having a great time. But that was a play that allowed us to really dive into some really controversial questions about mm-hmm. how human beings treat each other. Mm-hmm. And by opening up our season to being more than the summer festival, we really have opened up our ability to take on different kinds of plays as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the community mm-hmm. tour and how that's grown over the last 3 years and the kinds of, you've alluded to some of the various venues that you take mm-hmm. these shows into. What is your consideration for, A, the selection of the plays that you take into these facilities, these venues? And how do you, what are the kinds of themes that you weave into that to connect to the populations?
You know, it's not hard with Shakespeare. The goal is that you pick a play for the community tour that has a lot of different social classes in it, so that everyone can find someone to connect to, and a play that, you know, on the surface you may think, like, As You Like It, you may think, well, that's just a light little comedy. I mean, that's probably, but As You Like It is a play about people living in exile. I mean, literally, you know, 75% of that play takes place out in the Forest of Arden, where everyone has gone to live after they've gotten kicked out of the kingdom. So how does that play resonate with an audience in a homeless shelter? Or how does that play resonate with an audience in a prison? Mm-hmm. So the plays open up in surprising and exciting ways. You know, when we did The Merchant of Venice last year, we branched out a little bit from kind of just looking at it as, you know, quote-unquote underserved audiences, and really we're trying to find audience groups that would connect and have life experiences that would allow really authentic discussions around this idea of how do we treat people who are different than us. So we went to Camp Rehoboth down in Rehoboth, you know, mm-hmm. to have a conversation with the LGBT community. We went to the Latin American Community Center, and you know, we did a performance at the University of Delaware, which typically isn't a place we'd have taken that community tour before, but it was in association with the Jewish Studies program.
Okay.
So we try to pair the audiences with the play to create an experience that has the richest and most kind of unexpected journey through this play as possible.
And you not only perform for these groups and in these venues, mm-hmm. but you really have audience engagement. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so starting the second year of the tour, and it was just by chance, at the end of As You Like It, there are so many characters on stage that we realized we didn't have enough actors to play all the characters. Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of a brother that shows up and delivers a whole bunch of news. And we're like, why don't we get a volunteer at each place we go? And we'll just give them the text before the show, and they can stand up at the end and say these lines. And we thought it would be a fun idea, but it was transformative. Every time that volunteer stood up, the space just transformed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mission of that community tour is, you know, let everyone have ownership of these plays. And we do that in theory by going to the audiences and being out there in their space. But then when one member of the community stood up and actually joined with our actors, mm-hmm. I mean, literally the environments in the room changed every single day as people were like, hey, this is us too. We can tell this story. We can be part of this.
And I was fascinated seeing that, experiencing that in one of the venues this last year. And when that community member mm-hmm. stood up and recited his lines, I mean, the visible and audible mm-hmm. support that audience member got from the rest of his community
yeah.
was mm-hmm. really, really amazing. Yeah. It really was tremendous. Mm-hmm. Now, with the community tours, you've gotten some great kudos locally, but also nationally, and I want to go in that direction. But first, let me remind our listeners, you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is the producing artistic director of Delaware Shakespeare, David Stradley. David, in recent months and over the last year, you've gotten some recognition at the national level through the National Endowment for the Arts. Kudos to you, yeah, and let's hear about that.
Well, first off, I mean, the national recognition is great, but I do want to take a moment to thank the Delaware Division of the Arts for their incredible support. You know, launching a program like the Community Tour takes a whole bunch of risk, and Delaware Division of the Arts has been invested in it from the beginning and really helped us to launch it, so we're very grateful for that. As this work has gotten better known, we've been thrilled that national kudos have followed. This year we got our first ever direct funding from the National Endowment for the Arts through one of their Challenge America grants, which is all about bringing arts to underserved populations. Mm-hmm. That'll be helping to fund this fall's tour of Romeo and Juliet. And then after never having received a National Endowment for the Art grants in our history, we very quickly followed up with our second in 1 year. And there's another National Endowment for the Arts grant program called Shakespeare in American Communities. And one of those grants has a juvenile justice focus. Mm. So over the next year, we're going to be implementing 6 acting classes, 10 session acting classes in different juvenile justice facilities throughout the state of Delaware. And a couple of those will directly relate to the community tour production of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
We love doing this work, but it's been really exciting to know that our national colleagues as well have said, hey, there's some really thrilling stuff happening in Delaware.
Well, and I think it also speaks well to dispelling the myth that it's only huge organizations
right.
that are in the purview of the National Endowment for the Arts. I mean, what's the size of your staff?
Our full-time staff is one.
Yep.
We have a kind of part-time equivalent full-time staff of about another 2 or 3. But there's kind of 4 of us on a year-round basis mm-hmm. that are thinking about the company and moving it forward. Obviously, around each of our major productions, we have a big support team that comes in. But our year-round staff is 4 people thinking about Shakespeare and how we can make it more engaged in our community.
And to complement that, you have a working board. I see volunteering as ushers and so on.
Yeah, you know, as Delaware Shakespeare has grown, you know, very definitely in the very beginning days, it was the definition of a working board, uh-huh. you know, selling tickets. And as we have progressed as an organization, it has gotten more into a governance board. But mm-hmm. but still, the organization is a very grassroots
right.
organization,
yeah.
and the board definitely follows suit in that. And they love being a part of the events and going to them and helping out and making it successful.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to this upcoming season.
Yes.
When this airs, your summer festival will be starting shortly thereafter.
Yeah, so this summer we're doing one of Shakespeare's silliest plays, The Merry Wives of Windsor. It's a joyful play about 2 happy wives who get targeted by Falstaff, an egotistical, self-centered gentleman who is down on his luck and decides that the best way for him to make some money is to flirt with the two richest women in town and get some of their money. And as in all of Shakespeare, the women are smarter than the men. these two women definitely team up on Falstaff and teach him a lesson. But the great thing about this play is that, you know, in one of Shakespeare's tragedies, you know, if two people had tagged up on Falstaff, you know, there'd be lots of dead bodies around by the end of the play. But in this play, kind of once everyone learns their lesson, they just go, okay, let's go to the bar and have a drink. You know, one of the lines in the play is, "We shall drink down all unkindness." And that's kind of our theme for this year. And just, you know what? When things happen, we can still get along. We can still love each other. We can still, you know, now, have a drink at the end of the day.
You have an award-winning actress who is directing and has, I believe, performed with Delroy Shakespeare before. Let's talk about Krista and the cast.
Yeah, we're a big believer in what we call the Del Shakes family. And when we get an artist that we love and who loves us, we look for ways to expand relationships. So yeah, last year, Krista Apple, who is a Barrymore Award-winning actor in Philadelphia, played Beatrice in our Much Ado About Nothing and just absolutely delighted our audiences. And so Krista came back last fall and text coached our production of Merchant of Venice. And we said, hey, you want to... we're going to do Merry Wives of Windsor this summer. Is that a play that interests you? And she's like, yeah. So she's directing it and kind of spreading her artistic wings in new ways as a director. And then, yeah, we have a fantastic cast. Our Falstaff is an actor named Bradley Mott, who is a recent transplant from the Chicago area, has worked with some of the top theaters in Chicago, like the Goodman and Steppenwolf and Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Our mistress Paige, one of our two merry wives, is a woman named Britt Ashley Robinson. She just finished a run of a play in New York that was a New York Times critic's pick. So really extraordinary artists. But again, as we said before, we bring people from all aspects of their career. So we have six really talented college apprentices who play some of the smaller roles in the play. And then this year, something we're doing new for the first time, the high school interns will actually be in the show at the very end, because at the very end of the play, the whole town gets together to play a practical joke on Falstaff. Okay. So we'll have our high school interns in the show. And then we're also collaborating with Pages Alive Theater, which is a homeschool theater education company. And they're going to be supplying another four or five kids, kind of middle school kids each night, that'll join into this big scene in the park at the end to torture Falstaff in a comedic way.
now, how did you and Krista come up with this collection of actors? Audition process, how long did that take?
So we start our audition process kind of in January of every year with just an open call, and community members can come in and do monologues. And then end of January, February, we put together a kind of collated list of people and do about 2 or 3 days of auditions to try to get the best and the brightest.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the logistics of the festival, how people can find tickets, more information about it. What does an evening at Rockwood look like for them?
So your best way to buy tickets and to find out more about the production is to go to delshakes.org. You can buy your tickets then. We are a very modest ticket price, $22 general admission, $20 for seniors, $18 for students. We are outdoors at Rockwood Park, so it is a bring your own seat or blanket situation. Lawn chairs, low back chairs, blankets. The grounds open 75 minutes before the show every night for picnicking and pre-show entertainment. We heartily encourage picnicking. And then, yeah, you sit back and watch these great plays outdoors under the stars. And you know, look at the weather forecast. Sometimes there's rain in the forecast.
You'll be on the grounds, I presume, behind the...
We're on the south lawn of the mansion at Rockwood Park. Yeah.
And is there going to be any sort of unique configuration this year? Because I know you vary that from year to year.
That's one of the fun things. Every year we ask our design team, like, here's the park, here's the grounds, where do you want the play to be? This year it's pretty standard. It's a proscenium stage. It's a very colorful, fun set. This is one of Shakespeare's kind of most domestic plays. So the outline of the set is brightly colored outlines of homes. And there's kind of laundry lines throughout the stage that have different elements of costumes on it that people pick off at a different time. And we always have live music with our productions. And this year, the focus instrument is a string bass. We have a really talented young string bassist from Westchester University who is collaborating with our composer on the musical score. So it'll be a joyful, joyful time.
Mm-hmm. And having just been at Rockwood recently, they have recently completed a beautiful renovation of the The conservatory.
Yeah, the Newcastle County.
And the facade of the back of the mansion.
Yeah, Newcastle County has been pouring a lot of resources into making that grounds and building look nice again. Mm-hmm. And we have a lovely partnership with Newcastle County. We couldn't do the Summer Festival without them, and we're very grateful for their support as well. Mm-hmm.
And living up in that area this summer will be a bit of a challenge with the Marsh Road construction.
Yeah, so check your GPS before you come to the show. Right now, the northbound exits of I-95 are closed at Marsh Road. Southbound is still good, but that can probably change throughout the course of the summer.
Right.
So we'll have rotating directions up on our website. But yeah, give yourself a few more minutes this year when you come out to Rockwood so you can navigate the detours.
Yeah, but Rockwood really is beautiful. We've got about a minute and a half left. Let's go back to the community tours. Do you have venues picked out for this fall?
We do. We're doing 18 venues. We've got all but one selected. We'll be going to three state correctional institutions again, Howard R. Young, Baylor Women's Correctional Institute, and Sussex Correctional Institution. Some of the new places we're going this year are Easter Seals here in Newcastle County.
Okay.
And down in Sussex County, we're collaborating with the Cheer Center for the first time, which is a senior activity center down in Sussex, which we're excited about being there. And the Milford Public Library, our first time doing a performance in Milford.
And did we mention what play you're doing?
The play is Romeo and Juliet.
Classic.
We're really excited about that.
That play every ninth grader reads,
yeah.
I think.
But also excited because it'll be a play in these audiences. You know, some of the audiences won't actually know how this play ends. And
right.
That'll
right.
be thrilling.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So has that cast been selected?
Yes. Okay. We've got, again, eight local professional actors for that. Really extraordinary people, six of whom actually have done the tour in the past. We found that when actors do this work, they want to do it again.
Great. So. Well, we've got about a half minute left, so final comments?
Join us this summer. Again, the best way to find information is delshakes.org. It's the Merry Wives of Windsor at Rockwood Park, July 12th through the 28th.
David Stradley, Producing Artistic Director of Delaware Shakespeare, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul.
I really appreciate what you're doing with Shakespeare and making it accessible to so many people in Delaware. And again, kudos to you on the recognition from the National Endowment for the
Arts.
Thanks
so much.